WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? WikiLeaks superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, we're going to be profiling Core Productions, a Chicago theatrical company committed to bringing the arts to new audiences in non-traditional venues. Joining me now from Core Productions are Johanna Moffitt and Emily Cox. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thank you so much.
Now, Johanna, you're the artistic director. Are you also the founder of Core Productions?
Yes, I co-founded Core Productions with a friend of mine, Dylan Bandy, back in 2013. Dylan has since moved on, but we've been going somewhat strong. Definitely strong for the last year or so.
And what prompted you to start the company?
It's so crazy. I just woke up one morning and I was like, hey, you know what? We could do Bohème. I have four friends who could sing the different roles. The main roles are Rodolfo, Mimi, Marcello, and Musetta. And I realized that I had a quartet of friends who could sing those roles. And then the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh, hey, we could do this in the bar that I work at. I used to work at Main Stage on the north side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed an entire opera to be an immersive experience in the bar for the audience. And it was incredible. And then I thought to myself, you know, this is really something, because the audience feels like they're part of the show and it's an indirect participation. So it's not, you know, it's not like you're getting splashed on or any of those kind of experiences. But it really led the audience to feel like that visceral reaction, which is what drew me to opera in the first place as a young person. So I felt like that was really something that I wanted to share with the world.
So in that example, you used a bar as an unconventional space.
Yeah.
What are some of the other spaces that you've used that are a little outside the norm?
Sure. We did. Do you know the Burger House? It's on the north side. It's in Edgewater. It's part of the Chicago Parks District. It doesn't matter. We did a Figaro there. And Figaro is an opera that's set in a grand house and with a garden and all this stuff. And so we were able to utilize the rooms of this beautiful old house as the different parts of the set of the show. And it was so incredible. It just really, it was another way that we got to bring the audience along with the characters. And it felt so real, you know, like such a true experience. You know, you, all of us as people, we sometimes struggle to connect with each other. And I mm-hmm. feel like that was a way that I could show the audience what it was like to be the Countess, sad and alone, separate from the rest of the house, or the gardener in his ridiculous garden. You know, the gardener is drunk for most of that show. So it was fun to make a space for him.
And so the audience would move from room to room rather mm-hmm. than the action switching. They would move, the audience would.
Yeah. Okay. We've also performed in libraries and coffee houses. The concept was to bring the show to the audience versus, you know, forcing the audience to stick a forcing. That sounds so dramatic. versus, you know, expecting the audience to come somewhere, you know, to go to a large venue or
We were looking for a way to make sure that everybody had access. Sometimes when you're downtown, transportation can be difficult from other parts of the city. Sometimes when you're doing work in a space, you have to charge a certain ticket price, and that makes it really not not accessible to people who can't afford a $50, $70, $80 ticket. So right. we wanted to do it in a way that anybody could walk by, see what was going on, be attracted to it, and want to be a part of the experience. And they would be as welcome as anybody else who'd heard about it 2 weeks ago. We wanted to make space and room for everybody. It's an art form that's all inclusive. So we might as well make it that way.
Yeah. And if you have a opera going on at the pub in your neighborhood that you usually go to, you know, don't you want to pay an extra $10 or something and just check it out while you have your beer
yeah.
afterwards?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, that's the way they used to do it in Italy in the, you know, 1700s. Everybody right. was sitting in the courtyard smoking and drinking and laughing and talking to one another. Why not go bring it back to that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Now, Emily, you're the managing director for Core Productions. How did you come to be involved with the company?
I actually auditioned for Joanna in 2014.
Yeah.
It was the most unique audition experience I've ever had, and I never forgot it. I went into main stage, which is essentially almost a 360-degree stage. It's got a thrust in the front, but Joanna had it set up to where I walked into the middle of the room in almost a circular fashion. And I'd never had that except in my Theater in the Round auditions. You know, and as an opera singer, everything is very, you kind of park it, we call it park and bark, where you stand still and you sing out and everybody sits in front of you. And it was the first time that I had gotten a chance to really do a 360 and think about, as I'm singing, who am I addressing? What am I doing? Yeah. And I just went, this is such a unique experience. And then she actually spoke to me and gave me improvisational exercises to do as an opera singer, which does not happen. You make 5 songs and like a book, and then you bring that everywhere for the rest of your life. Nobody asks you to do anything on stage or acting. And here was this woman who was curious about who I was, what I could bring to the table, and who I was as an artist. And I went, well, this is completely new. I've never had this before. So about a year ago, I was working in real estate full-time and acting on the side and singing, and I was furloughed. And Joanna reached out to me immediately and said, I'm doing something completely different with Core, and I wanted your help with marketing. And I said, sure. And so she started telling me about La Boheme 2.0, which they were doing online in this new format. And I was hooked immediately. I was like, oh, this is going to be very big, not only because we're all at home during the pandemic, and it's something that, you know, everybody can watch in small snippets as opposed to this huge commitment of 3.5 hours. But it was also just her impetus and her energy. I went, oh yeah, I've got to be a part of this project. And I haven't left since last year. Since then, it's just been one exciting, like fun opportunity after another. Yeah. I can't tell you the last time I worked in the arts and I had fun all the time.
And what are the essential duties of a managing director in this city?
Ooh, that's a great question.
We like to say that we are two parts of the same brain. So in my past, I have done managing director roles in other things here in Chicago. I run Acting Out, which is a social justice nonprofit that we work and we partner with, you know, performing arts companies and put on arts and social justice works. I also worked with Underscore and developed new musical works here in Chicago for a while. And there's two different thoughts. You can either be completely on the business side and you only handle, you know, insurance, contracting, you know, PR, marketing, really kind of oversee all of that. Or there is a kind of new way of being a managing director where you are really part of the executive board and you are like the left side of the artistic brain. So it's almost like a production manager mixed with a marketing director, mixed with a business consultant, mixed with an AD. It's really fascinating.
It sounds
fun. And Joe and I sort of meld in between our roles.
Okay.
Yeah. We share responsibilities. It's really important to me that no one feels like there's a part of their personality that isn't being served. And Emma is clearly super creative, and I very, very much value her input. So, you know.
Now, Johanna, before becoming a producer and the artistic director of Core Productions, you worked extensively as a performer in both opera and musical theater. Can you tell us how you got started?
Oh my gosh, what a great question. You know, the first opera I ever saw was Carmen. And actually, I should start earlier than that. So that first year I was in high school, I really pushed to study music in Buffalo, New York, where I'm from. There are the magnet school system. And so there were, you know, college prep schools and technical schools and schools that were involved in vocational studies. And I really, really wanted to go to the art school. And it took everything I had to convince my family to let me go there. But anyway, my freshman year of high school, I met a young girl who was studying classical music, and she invited me to her concert. And when she sang, I just was like, oh my goodness. There was something that reacted inside of my body. And I really, really wanted to explore that and see what that was. And then I went to see my first opera that year, Carmen. And it was the first time that I ever forgot I was watching something. You know, I was so involved in what was happening. And that's when I was like, okay, I got to do this. So then I started auditioning for musicals and then eventually convinced my parents to let me go to school for music. And I went to Belmont University in Nashville. And then I went to SUNY Fredonia, which is back near Buffalo in Western New York, and then Indiana University. And at Indiana is where I really got involved behind the scenes in production. My first year there, I was trying to get something called like in-state tuition, which I'm sure we all are aware of. But in Indiana, you have to prove that you're a resident before you can get that. And so I spent the first year working behind the scenes at the opera. And the opera at Indiana University, at least at the time, was 7 productions a year. And so I worked on 3 or 4 shows that year. I worked on the stage crew. I worked as assistant stage manager, as assistant stage director. And I really just fell in love. It's so interesting to me now thinking about that time, because my voice teacher, you know, there at Indiana was really pushing me to stay focused and perform. And I really just loved all aspects of the theater, all parts of it. And now I'm really happy that I continued to pursue those things, even though it might not have been the most beneficial at the immediate time.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, I have the great honor of being joined by Johanna Moffitt and Emily Cox of Core Productions. That's Core, K-O-R. For more information on Core Productions, go to Core, K-O-R, productions.org. Now, Emily, Core Productions started in 2013. What are some of the early successes that Core produced?
Oh, my gosh. Joanna, I'm going to need your help here. My memory is really, we're going through so many so fast these days.
In our early, Carmen was the first one. No, actually, Bohème was our first. Bohème in a Bar was our first. And then we did Carmen. Then we did Falstaff, Carmen, and then we did the Figaro that I told you about. And then I took a break and started working on building a board and building the business side of it, really, mm-hmm. because until that point, I'd worked from show to show, essentially. And now I really see this as a larger venture, as a way to give back to the Chicago community as a whole. Chicago has given me so much. My first performance was with an ensemble called Cube Ensemble. I don't know if you remember them, but I did Carmen. I was Micaela and their Carmen. And then I was Butterfly with Main Street Opera, and I did Meg March in the musical Holland Little Women with Cult Camp Productions. And so I really just feel this need to give back to this amazing city. So anyway.
Now, Emily, your production of Don Giovanni was nominated by the Chicago Reader as Best Local Opera Production of 2020. What does that mean for Core Productions?
This was huge. So we were experimenting as of earlier this year. Joanna came to me with this incredible model and this brand new idea of taking an opera and really separating it into smaller segments. And the way she put it was, we're all binging Netflix. Why can't we binge art the same way we binge Netflix? And I thought that was brilliant. So by doing that, we also made it a little bit easier for new audiences to approach. Mm-hmm. So I was immediately, you know, excited and instilled with this sense of energy from this. And so I started putting out press releases to anybody that I could see, find anywhere in the area. I'm very big on PR and marketing, just as a singer myself, after doing it for years and years and years. But I also went, you know, this is something very unique and new. And I was so excited. I knew that we could find new people who would be excited. So I sent something to the Chicago Reader staff, thinking I'm shouting into the void. You know, I was saying earlier, the problem with the internet this past year is that everybody was on it, but you also still felt like you were just screaming into the void and nobody was there. And the next thing we knew, we were nominated. And it was an incredible honor, but it was also really exciting for us and for our artists to know that we were gaining these new audience members. We knew that we were seeing payback in terms of numbers and viewership, but to actually start receiving emails from people who had attended and, you know, emails back from the press who had attended and said, this was my first opera, I'd never been before, and it was so interesting that I came back again. What I really think was interesting was it put us on the map for going forward in new projects and new collaborators. We've now been able to approach some different production companies here in Chicago and present some ideas for projects we want to do this next year. And they've been much more open to receiving it when they knew about us prior to our, you know, mm-hmm. success. And then they saw this and now they're like, okay, this is a model that's interesting. It's gaining some traction. So now we have this opportunity to do all sorts of new and exciting things. So it was a huge growth step for us. It was very exciting.
So now the next thing that happened after Don Giovanni is COVID. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, well, nothing happened. Actually, Don Giovanni happened during COVID.
Okay.
That's what made it so exciting.
And then how did COVID affect core productions after that?
Yeah. So back a year ago, I was so frustrated and so sad at the idea of not being able to sing with my friends, not, you know, seeing just these heartbreaking posts from my colleagues and from my friends about, you know, not being able to perform. And so what I did was reach out to my tech savvy friends and say, hey guys, is there a way that we can perform live during COVID, you know, digitally? And, you know, safely, essentially, so, you know, singing is super spreading. So, So we my tech genius friend, Elijah Lee, and I did some experiments and we finally got to the point. And I should mention James Welch as well, my longtime friend and collaborator. The three of us, invited tenor Bernard Holcomb to sing the end of Act One and just of Bohème and see how that goes. And it went really well, actually. And we kept making tweaks and experimenting as the project went on, but we found an entire cast. We said, hey guys, we don't know what's going to happen. Can we try this out? And all of them were willing to experiment with us and jump on this train. And so we just did it like week by week. We tried one act and another. And then finally we were like, okay, this works. So we're going to do a full on opera. And so that's when we did Don Giovanni in November. And then we did Pearl Fishers in March, just 2 weeks ago.
let's talk a little bit.
To note that it is a live performance. Jim is in New York waving a stick while the music is playing. While, you know, our Don Giovanni was singing from Ireland and Skyping in, and Elijah combines all the streams and streams it to YouTube. And we are doing these for free. It is also worth noting that too. We don't charge ticket prices for the operas because we wanted people to be able to donate directly to the artists. which is the other thing that's been so exciting about this. This is a completely new model in terms of production. We're one of the only companies that is able to produce real live musical performances right now during COVID without a lot of pre-recorded aspects or any pre-recorded aspects. But the other thing that was really interesting was that because we are giving it away for free, a lot of times when you do free performances, because you're not charging tickets, it's sort of devalued by the audience. People are like, oh, it must not be worth that much. Completely the opposite reaction. We've had thousands of people now view these. They're still up on YouTube. If you would like to join Core and subscribe to Core on YouTube, you can. And you can watch all of these productions still. Act 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all still streaming. But we still have people donating to the artists, and they are still receiving donations from La Boheme last year, Don Giovanni last year. They're still gaining attention and followers on social media. So we haven't built a production company. We're building a community and a coalition of artists. We still meet with our friends from previous productions on Zoom meetings and talk to them about what they're doing and help them with their projects. So we're sort of building an online community of support and followers of this art form. And it's really exciting to see where opera can go from here.
And talk to me about the technicalities of doing an opera virtually with talent all over the world. How do you make that work?
Yeah. It's very complicated.
There's a lot of Zoom meetings. So Jim is our music director, and he is in New York. He owns a separate business. Everybody's working full-time still, or part-time. And so we're all trying to do this whenever we can. And there's time zones too. So now we're kind of like playing with weird meeting times. There's a lot of 11 o'clock at night meetings. But basically, Jim goes through and takes this enormous score for, several hundred instruments and reduces it down to just a piano score or something that he can formulate and imitate in some sort of manner with just one person. So then he goes through and he will actually record the tracks for everyone to listen to. So then my understanding, it's very complex, is that he sends those out to everyone. They get used to the timing and they practice and they start Zoom rehearsals right away. Am I right, Joe, so far?
Yeah, we listen to the same track. Everyone sings at the same time. And even though in Zoom, there's a delay, because we're all singing at the same time, our tech director is then able to push that out. And it pretty much times out to be perfectly in time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
But we have the whole time that they are singing, he is literally controlling the stream and watching it and adjusting levels. So nobody's mic zooms out. Nobody screams too high and they black out. The chorus for the Pearl Fishers this past time was incredible. We had 4 different people. None of them were in the same room. They were all able to blend and they were all singing in French.
Wow.
Now, what have you ever sung in French before? But it's almost impossible to get everyone to sing the same vowel when you're standing right next to them.
Well, we worked really hard at it. It's a lot of communication ahead of time. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What is next for 2021 for Core Productions?
Next, we have our spring gala, which will be May 7th. And then we have our Pride concert, which will be June 24th. Oh, crud. I should have written
down. We're sort of shaking it up. We're no longer just going to do opera. In the past, Core has been almost strictly an opera company. And now we've expanded because we've had so many people reach out with so many interesting projects and productions. And because opera has really been changed by COVID, there is no really going back to before. Digital productions have opened up this whole new world of both viewers and young singers who are now getting attention that they never would have gotten on a national and international level, if we'd had to do the same apprenticeship and young artist programs. So we've really kind of changed the scope of the world and we're never going back. So now we're talking about doing, dance and musicals and play readings. And the sky is really the limit. We're really going to shake it up this next year and we're not just going to do opera anymore.
Now, will virtual productions have a permanent home in Chicago theater, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In terms of production value, it is so much easier. You don't have to pay for the rental space, which is like a huge cost of every production budget is the rehearsal space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also the time. Everybody can be at home, so you don't have to pay for anybody commuting. You don't have to worry about any delays. Nobody's, you can immediately begin and end. And it also makes it, it makes it easier for the artists. They're able to do more than one project at once. And it's not nearly so emotionally or physically draining on them.
And where do you find your talent?
All over the world. Oh my gosh. We posted on our Facebook, posted a little video on our YouTube channel looking, calling out artists, and they just came in pouring in from all over. I think that we are super lucky that we had this revelation during COVID, because we really got to see an uptick in our talents, not just from the Chicago area, but also from, you know, New York and California and Hawaii and France. And, you know, I could keep going, but.
Two of our director from Pearl Fishers and our soprano were both featured artists at Pittsburgh Festival Opera, which is one of the largest opera companies and young artist companies in the nation. They're very well respected. And the young director came and had this great vision, and we were super excited to work with him. And he's coming back for the gala too. So we're getting people from everywhere that we would never have been able to be exposed to or even be able to talk to.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. Today, my guests have been Johanna Moffitt and Emily Cox of Core Productions. For more information on Core Productions, go to coreproductions.org. Johanna and Emily, thank you so much for your time. I've had a wonderful time learning about your company, and I hope you'll come back in a few months and tell us about some more success stories.
We'd love to. That would be wonderful.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ricky, for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.